Scripture reading for the sermon this morning you can find in the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Genesis 39, we'll begin at verse 1 and read the whole chapter. Genesis chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, and well favored. And it came to pass, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Let us seek the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing upon this service and the help of his Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, after opening thy word, and before preaching and listening, to thy proclaimed word. We come before thee in prayer. First of all, in thanksgiving. There are 1,001 reasons to thank thee. First of all, for thy word, which has been opened here and has been read among us. And we ask thee to bless thy word this morning. But there are so many more reasons to thank thee for bringing us here, or attending this service from home now or later, being united in prayer, lifting up our hearts to thee, our Creator and King and Sustainer of life. We thank thee for the beautiful weather after a long winter. Springtime came and the weather was like summer. And we thank thee for that warmth and thy sun, this beautiful weather. Lord, we ask thy blessing upon this day set apart among all days, one day out of seven, each first day, a special day, a day in which we are reminded of thy resurrection from the dead, thy ascension to heaven, thy sitting at the right hand of your heavenly Father. Lord, we come before thee as humble people, knowing that thou art a lover of loveless people. We know that it is according to thy will that we should love thee above all, with our whole heart, soul, mind, strength, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And thou art indeed a lover of loveless people. Thou art a source of goodness and love and mercy and grace. Thou art a fountain of it. But coming before thee in prayer, we know that we are not sufficient for these things, that it is not in our nature to have this pure love in our soul, that it is in our each and every affection in us that we are turned from thee instead of to thee, that we are bound as slaves to lust. Lord, we know and we confess that we cannot love thee as we should love thee above all. Until this moment, that thou dost set us free. And therefore, Lord, we ask thee, set us free. Deliver us from that slavery, from our lusts, from our sins, from our guilt. We know that by grace we are set free, and by grace that we will serve thee in and through thy Son, Jesus Christ. It is through him that we are redeemed, and it is through him that our sins are forgiven. Therefore, Lord, open our eyes for him. His love, his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his beauty, his strength, his wisdom, all we need is to be found in him. Therefore, Lord, grant us thy spirit and set us free from slavery and sins. Because in that freedom, we will always obey thee. And we will walk in liberty. Lord, that thy spirit may draw nearer to us. And that we will walk in his strength and wisdom in thy ways, the ways of righteousness. We know that thou art the end of all means. And therefore, Lord, that we may behold thee in thy beauty and see thee always before us. Order all our ways by thy holy word. Make thy commandments the joy of our heart, that by them we are happy and blessed and walk according to thy holy law and precepts, and that we will grow, Lord, through thy word and spirit in thy love and manifest it to the others around us, to mankind. Therefore we ask thee, O Spirit of love, make me like the loving Christ Jesus, and give me his temper, and that we will show forth in our life his actions, and that we will shine before men thy glory. Lord, we come before thee, and we have many things to ask thee. We ask thee this morning, first of all, to be with thy people, Israel, the people of that covenant of old. Lord, thou gavest them so many promises. We ask thee to fulfill these promises. Lead them to Christ your Son. Lord, revive them and open their eyes for thy Son, Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. They are waiting for the Messiah. But the Messiah came already. Therefore, Lord, open their eyes for your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for the people in the Ukraine and all these people involved in the terrible war, which is dragging on now already for months. So many people fled their homes, lost loved ones, lost possessions, and are living abroad. Lord, we ask thee to be with all these people, to comfort them, to strengthen them. Open their eyes for thy Son, Jesus Christ, and give thy church boldness to speak and to witness Jesus, your Son. We pray for the expectant mothers among us. We ask thy blessing upon them, and also the young unborn lives they carry with them. And we ask forgiveness of the terrible sin committed by this nation and many more nations in killing so many young unborn lives. And while others would like to receive a child from your hand, so many young unborn lives are killed. Young unborn lives created by thine hands. Lord, we ask thy blessing upon the High Court in these days, in their deliberations on these issues. Bless them and strengthen them. We ask thy blessing upon this nation. But at the same time, we ask forgiveness of all the great sins of these nations. We pray for parents among us who are raising children in an ungodly society. And they are surrounded by so many temptations. And we as parents are weak, and there is no strength and wisdom in us. Lord, we ask thee to fulfill thy covenant promises. Show thyself to be a father for our children. And bless them and fulfill thy promises in their lives. Lord, we also pray for the sister of Don Walma and so many others where buildings were destroyed in strong storms. There is lots of damage. Lord, be with them and bless them and bring a reversal in these terrible circumstances and give outcome. Help them, and not only them, but also the others around them. Lord, we live in a world with many afflictions and tribulations and many people living in difficult circumstances, in even tragic circumstances, and we lay them down all in your hand. Lord, hear our prayer this morning and bless thy word this morning. Give strength and wisdom and open our eyes, ears, and heart that we will hear, understand, and keep thy word. All this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 65. Psalter 65. And we sing all four stanzas. And there will be a collection during the prelude. And then we will sing afterwards Psalter 65, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. dear congregation, the theme for this morning's sermon is living with the Lord. Living with the Lord. Three thoughts. First, the Lord is with Joseph. The Lord is with Joseph. Second thought, Joseph is with the Lord. Joseph is with the Lord. And the third thought, blessed of the Lord. So the theme is living with the Lord. Three thoughts. The Lord is with Joseph. Joseph is with the Lord. And blessed of the Lord. First point of attention. The Lord is with Joseph. We probably remember the last words of Genesis 37. Tragic words. And the Midianites sold Joseph into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, and captain of the guard. What a tragic ending of this loved boy, Joseph. 17 years old. There are among us who are 17. And then sold as a slave. Well, Genesis 39 repeats these words, more or less. And we read there, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. And you hear the astonishment, an Egyptian brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had again brought him down thither. Is this the end for Joseph? Is this the final destination of his life? Will he end as a slave under an Egyptian master? An heathen, pagan nation? Will he end there? Well, we read in verse 1 that he was brought down. Well, he was brought down literally, because from Canaan to Egypt, it is southwards. So literally, down. But like often in the word, in God's word, words have a double meaning. And there is also in these words brought down a figuratively meaning. He is indeed brought down to that nation, Egypt, an enemy of Israel. Terrible, brought down. But this tragic story seems without end. It drags on and it continues in and through Genesis 39. The path continues to go downhill. And read with me verse 20 of Genesis 39, almost at the end of that chapter. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. And do you know what we read in Psalm 105 about Joseph in prison here? It weren't pleasant circumstances, not at all. Listen to Psalm 105. Joseph, who was sold for a servant, and then whose feet they heard with fetters. He was laid in prison. So when we compare Scripture with Scripture, as we do always, of course, it is clear to us that Joseph's time in prison was really the great low point in his life. Let's be honest, can it get any worse than that? To end in iron shackles in a prison? In a country far from home, no connection at all to Canaan, to his father Jacob, his brothers, his family, his friends. There he sits in prison. A young lad, 17 years old, so loved by his father Jacob, dressed in the beautiful kingly robe. He could not have expected at that time that it would end here in prison, in the darkness there, in iron shackles. But it did. It happened. Who among us would prefer such a life? Young people, would you prefer such a life? Of course not, of course not. Would you want to be sold as a slave? Of course not. Would you like it to be end up in prison? In a dark, small room, in iron fetters, shackles? Of course not. When we think about what we prefer in life, we come up with things like a job, right? A house, a car, some time for vacations, a spouse, children, health, a good reputation. Right? That's what we pray for, I think. And maybe even we go even a little bit further, and we not only pray for income, but for a high income. Not for a house, but a good house. These are the things that naturally come into our mind when we are asked what we desire in life. And it's even what we as Christians pray for and long for. We ask the Lord, isn't it, to bless us. And when the Lord gives us a house, a car, a spouse, etc., etc., we thank the Lord, well, thank thee for thy blessings, you see, for thy blessings. So compare all of this with Joseph's life. His way of life is so the opposite. It is so different. And let there be no mistake. Joseph knows the Lord. He is a fine, righteous young man. He's first of all a child of the covenant. He's placed on covenant grounds. But more than that, he's made alive by the Lord. He knows the Lord personally. You can see it in all these chapters. It's so clear. He knows the Lord personally. All that righteousness of him, that faith of him, his strengths, his endurance, his goodness showed toward others, his love, which is really pouring out, his wisdom, he's really a blessed child of the Lord. We heard it in Genesis 37, how he is a really righteous young man, so obedient to his father, obedient to the word of God. In Genesis 37, without any doubt, he was pictured before us as a righteous young man serving his father, and so his father serving the Lord. And then see what this young child, a covenant child, who knows the Lord personally and who walks with the Lord, receives from God's hand. Did he ask for it? Of course not. But he received it. Trouble after trouble. Affliction after affliction. And his way is going downhill, downhill, downhill. And there almost seems no end at that dark travel. Where will it end? Hated by his brothers. Envied by his brothers. Almost killed by his brothers. Sold as a slave by his brothers. Transported to Egypt for 20 pieces of silver. A servant in an Egyptian house. Falsely accused of wrongdoing and sin. And then in the end, in prison, in the darkness of that small room in shackles. But I'm not going to repeat the last sermon. But last time we considered that it is the path of every Christian. Although I know, and the Bible is clear about it, the type of trials and tests vary among Christians. And also the length and the severity of these afflictions and trials, they are different for one Christian and another. But the Bible is very clear. There will be afflictions and trials and tests and tribulations. But again, look to Joseph. We all know that the only path to the fulfillment of his two dreams he received as a young boy was this path. If you consider it, and you think it through, and you meditate upon it, it becomes clear there is no other path to Joseph becoming a king and saving so many lives than this path, than this cross. He will become king. He will become a deliverer. But it has to go. There is no other way for him through bearing this heavy cross. But then Genesis 39 also shows us so beautiful how even in the darkest circumstances of his life, God is with him. There is no other way. When Joseph here is that crossbearer, we read again and again, the Lord is with him. In this way, by taking up his cross, the Lord is with him, the Lord blesses him, and in the end, he will indeed become king and deliverer. The Lord fulfills all his promises. And this is the way he has to travel. And the road of every Christian to heavenly Jerusalem is a road of cross-bearing and afflictions and tests. But it will end up there. For every cross-bearer who follows Jesus Christ, and the crown is awaiting. And that kingly robe is awaiting. And that throne is awaiting. And that heavenly house is awaiting, because God will fulfill all his promises. But we will lose everything here. Even our body will remain here until that last day. There's no doubt the Lord is with Joseph. Let's read it. Four times in Genesis 39, it says it so clear. The Lord, capital letters, his covenant name, the God of the covenant, who gave Joseph these promises and these dreams, is with Joseph. And Genesis 39 is packed between these promises. At the beginning of this chapter, you read them twice. The Lord is with Joseph. And the end of the chapter, you read them twice. The Lord is with Joseph. See, verse 2. We read there, and the Lord, capital letters, his covenant name, the I am with you, was with Joseph. Verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And then the end of the chapter, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 22 again. And the Lord, verse 23. And the Lord was with Joseph. Four times. In other words, dear congregation of Providence Reformed Church, reader of God's Word, listener to God's Word, there's no doubt at all. God fulfills his promises and he stays with his children even in the darkest circumstances. He is with them. The Lord was with Joseph. But this begs for a question. Why is the Lord with Joseph? What is the reason that we read four times the Lord is with Joseph? Is it on the basis of Joseph's faith? His faith is strong. Is it on the basis of his righteousness? His righteousness is great, exceedingly great. Is it on the basis of his wisdom? His endurance? His strength? Of course not. We always compare scripture with scripture. And that's very clear for us. The Lord is with his children because he is the Lord. The beautiful name. Dear congregation, keep hold on that name. Remember that name always in all circumstances of your life. It will keep you away from sin. And it will keep you close to himself. I am who I am. You doubt me, isn't it? But who I was yesterday, I am now, and I will be in the future. I am the God who promises to be your father. I promised it. And I'll keep my promise. Please be my child. Please let nothing stand in the way between you and me. That's all in the beautiful name, Lord. I am here. You're looking for me? You think I'm absent? No! I am here. What a beautiful name. He is with Joseph. There's the secret. His name is Lord. And he takes care of his children always. It is his one-sided love. His one-sided faithfulness. Consider this, please. One-sided, this important word, it is one-sided, and it gives such much comfort to your life. It will build up your faith if you consider that his love and his goodness and his grace is one-sided. It is nothing of us, and it's all of him. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 and 8. We read about Israel the following words. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 through 8. The Lord, capital letters, the I am, thy God, What a God, right? The I Am
has chosen thee,
one-sided,
to be a special people.
And he repeats these words for every new generation, part of that covenant of grace.
To be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, Providence Reformed, and listeners at home, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. You were the fewest. But because the Lord loved you. What beautiful words to take with us the coming week. And we know that the Lord is with his people in and through Jesus Christ. It's in him alone and through him alone. Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, not plural but single, his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seeds, as to many, but as of one, Jesus Christ. To thy seed, which is Christ, in Christ, God fulfills all his promises. So what is the most important thing for us to do in life? To put our trust in Jesus Christ. To confess our unworthiness for him. To flee to him as sinners. Because in him all God's promises are yea and amen. In and through him God fulfills all his promises. Therefore this question, which I as your pastor and preacher asks again and again, who is Christ for you? Flee to him. It's even not, although I hope you have a great faith in your life, it's even not about great faith. But flee to him as a beggar. Here I am. There's no faith in me. But that's right. There is no faith in you. There's no faith in me. But faith is nothing more than that hand which you lay down on God's promises. That's it. Lord, hear me. Hear me. Well, there is the secret that the Lord was with Joseph. Let's move on to the second thought. Joseph is with the Lord. There's also another side of that same coin. Right, for a Christian, take a coin, it has two sides. And that one side is the Lord is with his people. But there is also that other side. His people are with the Lord. Of course, one cannot go without the other. That's just impossible. There is no coin without two sides. There is no covenant without two sides. But it all starts there. The Lord is with thee. Well, Joseph learned to know God's love and to trust God's love more and more in the way of these tests, afflictions, tribulations. And here, through his cross bearing, where he lost almost everything. No, I think he lost everything except the Lord. Besides the Lord, he lost everything and everybody. But in that way, he learned to trust the Lord. And he came to know the Lord as the one whose name is Lord. I am with you. Wherever you are, wherever you go, because it's my name, therefore. That's what he learned. In these tragic circumstances. And young people, you don't like to be a crossbearer, isn't it? But do you like to be a king? A deliverer? And God will make you a king if you follow Jesus Christ. But the only way is that in this life we will come a crossbearer. That the Lord will make you a king. Even an eternal king. But first you have to learn to distrust yourself. And to trust the Lord. And therefore this path of afflictions. Well, Joseph was a righteous young man. And he continues to walk that path of righteousness in Genesis 37. Consider this. In these tragic, dark circumstances, he keeps walking on the path of righteousness. Wow, he's an example for us. He really is. It begins with Joseph serving Potiphar in an admirable way. He did his job so perfectly that his master appoints him as the overseer of his house. That's what we read in verses 4 and 5. And then we read in verse 6, at the end of the verse, he was a goodly person. Well, what is it that he was a goodly person? Was it something in Joseph? Was he good as a person, as a young boy? No, it's not about Joseph. It is about God. God dwells in Joseph through his spirit. And God is the God of all goodness. And therefore we read, Joseph is a goodly person. These are the two sides of that coin. Because God is full of love and good, he will make his people good and full of love. And he just radiates it. He shows it. And everybody is speaking about it. See that young lad, 17, 18 years old. He is such a goodly person. And they ask themselves, what is his secret? Well, Joseph is clear about it. He isn't even afraid to go to Potiphar's wife and rebuke her. He is not even afraid, if you read the chapter carefully, to go to his master and tell him, I have a Lord in heaven. And that Lord is good. Maybe Potiphar laughed about him. He's good for you. Where's your father? Where are your brothers? You're here, my slave. And I think he said, Master, you're right. But my master in heaven is better. And he showed it. And he loved his master. And he loved everybody there. He was a goodly person. What an example for us. Maybe if I ask my neighbor, what will he say about me? If I'm going to visit tomorrow your colleague or your neighbor, what will they say about you? Well, he or she is a goodly person. And I also know his or her secret. He or she loves the Lord. He or she has a good God. And it shows off. Well, here is Joseph. And don't think that Joseph had an easy time. Compared to Joseph's, our lives are so easy. Joseph, the circumstances where the Lord brought him are almost impossible. It's almost impossible to stay faithful in the Lord and to be a witness of the Lord and his word in these circumstances. Consider this. First of all, he was far from home. He was alone. And it's so difficult to be a witness if you are alone, isn't it? He was alone, and he was a witness of the Lord in his deeds and words. He was alone. And we are not alone. We are surrounded by our family, a church family, and so many others. Furthermore, he is among Egyptians. And what do we know about Egyptians? They dislike and even despise nomadic people like the Hebrews. Therefore, it says twice in Genesis 39, Joseph is a Hebrew. You almost never read this, but here in Genesis 37, you read it twice. He's a Hebrew. Why? Because Egyptians despise Hebrew people because they are nomadic people. Therefore, and he is brought by the Lord, the I am with you, Joseph, in these circumstances, to be a witness for him, and he will even become a king there in Egypt. He will even be the deliverer of many Egyptians. Isn't it amazing? And even more about Joseph's difficult circumstances, he was loved by his father, right? Maybe he was a little bit spoiled. But now he became a slave. Read Genesis 39 again at home. And just count the number of times you hear the word master. It's all over. Master, 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 master. Joseph, that almost spoiled boy, so loved by his father, had only now masters above him. He was at the lowest point of his life. And all the others were a master above him. He had only masters. But still, you know what the secret of his life was? He knew of that heavenly master whose name is Lord. Joseph, never forget. I gave you 2 dreams and I will fulfill these dreams. Providence, remember, I gave you a promise at your baptism. I'll be your father. And then the Lord sends us away. Take up your cross. And remember these promises. And carry on. Be faithful. Be a blessing. And I will bless you. Well, that's Joseph. But in Genesis 37, the Lord brings Joseph in almost impossible circumstances. He brings him in temptation. Oh, what a strong temptation. Joseph attracts a lot of attraction. First of all, because he is a goodly person. The Lord lives in him. There is an heavenly throne room in him. And the Lord gives him inward beauty, glory, goodness, love. And when others look to Joseph, they say, what a goodly boy he is. Well, but what does it say more in verse 6? These last words, he was well favored. His outward appearance is something special. As a boy, he was a beautiful boy. But do you agree with me that this is a very dangerous position? You attract attention because you're a good person, but above it, you attract attention because you're so beautiful. Everybody looks to you. So there is this wife of Potiphar. And probably she's first attracted by this Hebrew. You hear a disdain in her voice because of his inward beauty. But then she looked more carefully to him and she saw his outward beauty. And we all remember from Genesis 2 how sin starts, isn't it? How does sin begin? By seeing and hearing. So it begins in the life of the wife of Potiphar, but there is also that danger that sin will enter Joseph's life. Because without any doubt, you don't read it here, but we can be sure about it, Potiphar's wife, because he was a highly placed Egyptian, he had a beautiful wife. And then there is this young boy, 17, 18 years, alone, without family, without a girlfriend, and there comes this very attractive lady. And she speaks to him with that voice full of seduction, right? And then she's beautiful. What a terrible temptation this must have been for Joseph. Will he give in to that temptation, young people? Any even parents among us? Do we give in to the temptations of this world? And how do we not give in to them? What an example is Joseph here. Joseph doesn't give in to this temptation. Oh, he has two reasons for it. Verse 8. He said, I will dishonor my master Potiphar. Because Potiphar's wife is Potiphar's wife. So Joseph cannot have a relationship with her. That's of course impossible. She's part of Potiphar's life. They belong together. He said, I will dishonor my master. He's a slave there. He's an Hebrew slave. And here, his respect and his love for his master. But then there is a more important reason. Joseph knows about another master in his life. Verse 9b. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I can't, because God is my Lord. He with me and he asked me to be pure in life. He is pure. He is holy. So I want to be holy and pure like him. He is with me. And it's very clear from these words that he is a witness of his Lord and his God to Potiphar's wife. Even more than that, he rebukes Potiphar's wife. Well, what are lessons to be learned here, right? How do we stay away from sins and not give in to temptation? By rebuking the sins and the sinners. And tell them like the Lord did, it is written, thou art holy, I am thy Lord. It is written. And I have received from the Lord's hand the promise that he is my God and my King and my Father. And I can dishonor and not love my Father. There it starts. It starts all with faith. Fleeing to God in and through Jesus Christ. Knowing that he gave his life for a sinner like you. How can I sin? If Christ died for me, how can I live unholy if he died for me? And he is such a holy Savior. Let us follow this example of Joseph. We read in verse 10, because she keeps bothering Joseph day by day by day by day. That's difficult, right? It's the same with us, right? We are tempted day by day by day by day. But we read here in verse 10, Joseph hearkened not to her. Why not? Because his ear was pierced to the word of God. He was a slave of his God. The beautiful Old Testament picture, right? He was a slave set free, and yet his ear was pierced to his master in heaven. He sticked to the word of God. He kept it in his heart. And he knew, he's my God, and he's with me. Whatever will happen, I'm strong in him. He gives wisdom, he gives strength. But we know how this story ended, right? In prison. And how far can you fall in life? Can it go deeper? But despite the seemingly impossible circumstances, Joseph rules his faith in the Lord. And again, it is remarkable at the end of Genesis 39. He radiates God's goodness and love in prison. These almost impossible circumstances. And the Lord brings us sometimes in almost impossible circumstances. And then still, to radiate God's goodness and God's love and to be a witness of him, because it is an honor to be a cross-bearer. It is an honor because our master was a cross-bearer. Well, let us, before we move on to the last thought, let us consider and remind ourselves to stay in the Word of God. And to remember always God's promises and meditate upon his name. I am who I am. Well, let's first sing a Psalter 241. Psalter 241, the first five stanzas. That's Psalm 89, Psalter 241, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Blessed of the Lord. Her last, a little bit shorter point of attention. Blessed of the Lord. There is one thing more to consider this morning. Thrice, in this chapter, we read that Joseph was, and it's really amazing, prosperous. In these circumstances, a young boy, so far from his elderly home, alone. Where's the Lord, you could even say? And then we read three times, he was prosperous. We read it in verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. A prosperous man. Verse 3, he prospered. And then in verse 23, again, at the end of the chapter 23, he prospered. It is remarkable how in the darkest circumstances of Joseph's life, we read that he prospered. Could it go even lower and more downhill? I think it's impossible to go more downhill than this situation where Joseph was brought in. And exactly at that moment, in the most dark circumstances of his life, we read, he prospered. He prospered. And again, he prospered. Three times, he prospered. Why? Again, this question. Is it because Joseph was so righteous and he was so faithful in these dark circumstances? And he really held on to the Lord even in that house of slavery and in prison? And was it because of that that the Lord blessed him and that he became prosperous? Was it because of anything in him? We know the answer, right? Of course not. No. Never. If the Lord makes us prosper in life, it is never anything in us. Never. It is only grace. Only grace. I think in these dark circumstances, Joseph couldn't do anything else than praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's so clear from Scripture here that it is the Lord, 100%, 100, not 99.9, but 100% who made Joseph prosper. Read verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Result? He was a prosperous man. Again, verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Can it even be more clear? The Lord made him to prosper. And even his Egyptian master sees it and recognizes it. He says, well, it's the Lord, isn't it? And then verse 23. And the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made him prosper. We have such a wonderful Lord. He is so great for sinners and weak people. Are you weak? I'm a weak pastor. I think there are weak elders and weak deacons here, and weak organists. We are weak. But still, if the Lord is with you, you have everything. And he will give you strength. He will give wisdom. He will prosper you. What a wonderful God. You see what's happening here? God commands to be faithful, and he gives the fulfillment of that command. Lord, help me to be faithful. And he will help you because it's his command.
and he himself will fulfill his commands in our life. And therefore, we praise his wondrous name. The Lord is the one who gives promises. It starts here at baptism. And he keeps giving them again and again and again in our life. And he's the one who gives the fulfillment, despite our waywardness and sinfulness and weakness. That's the Lord. It's him. His name is I Am Who I Am. You can build upon me. But there's another side. There is another side. When the Lord pours out his love in you, and you know that in Christ all your sins are forgiven, then your life is changed. It becomes a life in gratitude. Lived in gratitude and in thankfulness. Of course. That coin has two sides. The Lord gives to be served. The Lord provides to be praised. Of course. And the Lord blesses the righteous people and the faithful people. It's so biblical to say. But it is a blessing. It is a blessing by grace and not by merit. Read at home the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 24. It says it so beautiful. Do not our works merit? Really not? Answer. The reward is of merit. Is of grace and not of merit. The reward. He will reward, indeed. He will reward. See Joseph. But that reward is grace. It is not merit at all. What a wonderful God, isn't it? From the beginning until the end, it is all one-sided love. So the Lord blesses Joseph and he prospered. At the end of the sermon, I would like to read you two portions from Psalm 1. And we will also sing Psalm 1. Because Joseph's life is a clear example of Psalm 1. Is our life, your life, my life, a clear example of Psalm 1? Listen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Joseph didn't. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Joseph didn't. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Joseph fled away from it. He hearkened to his God. But blessed are you, is your delight, is in the law, the word of God. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And then the Lord will give his blessing. It's all grace, not merit, but he will give his blessing. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Oh, may this be the case of you all and Providence. That we will be like that fruitful tree here in Grand Rapids. And that others will say, wow, there are only goodly persons in Providence. And another one will say, but did you ask them why they are so goodly? And then a third one will say, yes, I asked. And they answered me, because I have a goodly Lord. Therefore, he sent his son. And therefore I serve him. I have no choice. He gave all he had. Therefore I will give all I have to him. That's why I serve him. It's not me. It's God in me. But Psalm 1 gives also a warning. I will end with that warning. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I end with this question. I started with a question, right? Do you prefer that life of Joseph? What kind of life, young people, parents, elderly people, do you prefer? And you probably remember all the answers I gave you. They are at the bottom of our heart, like, right? I like to be blessed, and when we think about blessing, we think about, well, a spouse, a children, health, wealth, whatever. But what kind of life do we prefer? Do we prefer? And I hope so. And I pray so for you. A life as cross-bearer, young people. It's the best life, isn't it? To be a cross-bearer. There's no better life than that. To follow Christ, your Savior and King. Because that is the path where God is with you. And He will bless you. He will make you prosperous. And you will store up heavenly treasures. And He will give you a crown in heaven. Undeserved, all grace. Or do you prefer a life for this world? Without Christ? Then He is against you. And it will end in His wrath. Who's Christ for you? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. Bless Thy word. Lord, it is Thy word. It's not a human word. Although it was surrounded by human words and weakness, that's true, Lord. And we ask forgiveness of all these weaknesses. But still, Thy word was proclaimed. Lord, we started this service by asking for Your Spirit. Thou gave Thy Spirit. But Lord, that Thou Spirit will stay with us. That He will be the after preacher. That He will show us Christ. That He will give us strength. That He will give us wisdom. And that we will receive Thy blessings. Lord, make us cross-bearers. And that we will see all these heavenly treasures stored up. Only grace. Lord, we ask Thy blessing upon this day. Bless also the work this afternoon in prison, in jail. And bring us together later on tonight. And to hear Thy word for the second time. Hear our prayer in the name of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing Psalm 1. And we do so on the tune of Psalter 2. Psalter 2. And we will sing all five stanzas. They are short stanzas. All five stanzas of Psalm 1, Psalter 2.
lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and give thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.